Hello and welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into something pretty serious, the silent invasion. We're talking about invasive alien species, or IAS.
Right. These are organisms introduced outside their natural home, and they cause, well, significant harm.
We've pulled together articles, research reports, really trying to understand what this invasion means for, you and the planet.
It's a critical topic and honestly often flown under the radar. What's key here is their impact. We define them by their ability to threaten ecosystems, economies, even our health.
So not just a few weeds in the garden.
Not at all. They're incredibly diverse, could be microscopic, could be large animals, but they share traits. They reproduce fast, spread like wildfire, and are annoyingly adaptable.
And the sheer scale. It's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? The numbers involved.
Oh, absolutely. There's this body, IPBES, the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, basically the big scientific group for biodiversity. They list IAS as one of the top five drivers of biodiversity loss worldwide and the cost. Back in 2019, the estimate was over $423 billion a year.
Wow.
And that number had quadrupled every decade since 1970. Plus, everyone thinks that figure is actually conservative. The real cost is likely much, much higher.
Okay, so the numbers are huge, but let's unpack this. How do they actually do this damage? How does it play out on the ground?
Well, we see impacts everywhere. Ecosystems, farming, human well-being. Ecologically, you get direct threats like predation. Think of the brown tree snake on Guam.
Right, I've heard about that one.
Yeah, it wiped out, locally anyway, nine native bird species, or feral cats in Australia. Estimates are they kill something like 2.4 billion native animals every single year.
Billion. That's
It
staggering.
is. And then there are diseases they bring, like white nose syndrome and bats in North America. It's devastating. But beyond that, they actually change the environment itself, nutrient cycles, fire patterns. They create whole new, often worse conditions.
That's sobering. And you hear about certain places being hit harder. Islands, for example, they seem particularly vulnerable.
They absolutely are. Islands, because they're isolated, their native species often haven't evolved defenses against these newcomers.
Made sense.
So IAS are implicated in about 60% of all recorded global extinctions of plants and animals. And get this, 90% of extinctions that are primarily blamed on IAS happened on islands.
90%.
Wow.
Okay, moving beyond the purely ecological, what about the economic side? Where does that strain hit hardest?
Agriculture, probably.
Yeah.
The costs there were estimated up to $509 billion just between 1970 and 2020.
Huge numbers again.
Yeah, and globally, something like 20 to 40% of crop production is lost to pests each year.
Yeah.
Think of the tomato leaf miner ruining tomato crops, or that spotted lantern fly. It's a threat to Ontario's grape and wine industry, which is worth billions.
And here's a bit of a twist, isn't it? Sometimes we introduce these species on purpose.
Right. That's the paradox. Sometimes species were brought in, maybe for biological control, to solve one problem.
And then became a bigger problem themselves.
Exactly. One study looked at 31 species like that, and 24 of them ended up costing agriculture more than the problem they were supposed to fix. It really highlights, well, a failure in properly assessing the risks beforehand.
So the impacts just keep rippling outwards. It affects our health too, and even our culture. How does that work?
Yeah, directly. IAS can transmit diseases.
Well.
The Asian tiger mosquito, for instance, spreads West Nile, dengue. Invasive ticks carry diseases too. Then there's physical harm bites, stings, like from Africanized honeybees.
Okay.
And indirectly, they hit food security by cutting crop yields. They affect water quality. Degrading wetlands affects over 2 billion people.
And the cultural angle, that seems complex.
It really is. You have over 2,300 invasive species found on indigenous lands, impacting traditional practices, sacred sites. It's a huge issue.
But sometimes they get accepted.
Sometimes, yeah. Like the prickly pear cactus, it's an invader in many places, but in some, it's become part of local food, local symbols. It gets integrated.
So trying to remove it isn't straightforward.
Exactly. It complicates things. Eradicating it might mean removing something that's become culturally significant. It shows we need a really sensitive, holistic approach considering those cultural ties.
This all points towards needing smarter solutions, right?
Right, definitely. And if you look at the whole process, the invasion curve, they call it, the costs just explode the longer a species is established. Catching it early or better yet, preventing it from arriving.
That's the most cost-effective thing.
By far. Prevention isn't just a tactic. It should be seen as, like, a strategic investment with a really high return. It's about shifting focus before the wildfire starts, you know?
So if prevention is the big takeaway, what does that mean practically? What should we be doing?
Well, it means beefing up prevention, obviously, but also early detection, getting better at predicting which species might become invasive before they get here.
Better forecasting.
Right. And more research on how things like climate change interact with invasions. We need governments working together across borders, building capacity, getting the public engaged.
And involving local communities.
Yeah.
Absolutely crucial, especially indigenous peoples and local communities. Co-developing strategies with them ensures solutions are not just good for the environment, but also culturally appropriate and, frankly, more likely to succeed long term.
It's clear from this deep dive that this silent invasion, it's complex, it's growing fast, and it's not just out there in nature. It hits our wallets, our health, even our heritage.
It sounds daunting, I know. But there are success stories. Australia's done amazing work eradicating invaders from islands. The biological control of that prickly pear cactus in some contexts worked well. Concerted effort can make a difference.
So as we wrap up, maybe something to think about. In this incredibly connected world we live in, how might your own choices, what you buy, how you travel, even what's in your garden, how might they be, maybe unknowingly, part of this problem or part of the solution? It's something for all of us to consider.